Well, Belgic Confession, Faith Article 24, Part 1, I believe I am sanctified. I believe I am sanctified. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, salvation, sanctification flows from and is inextricably linked to the doctrine of justification. This is the part of the golden chain of events in your salvation, a chain that cannot be broken once it is started. Every doctrine is firmly connected to other doctrines. So if you are chosen by God before the foundation of the world, you'll be called by God with the preaching of the gospel. And once you're called by God, you will come to faith. You'll be justified by him. And everyone who is justified will then be sanctified. And everyone who is sanctified will be glorified. So once you've been chosen, you will be glorified. We call all of those doctrines that are being linked together the golden chain, because it's beautiful, it's precious, it's secure. And that's the work of Jesus Christ for us. Today we will examine the doctrine then of sanctification, which is linked before with justification and after with glorification. Our headings are 2, sanctification defined, and then 2, sanctification displayed. And our goals are that you'll recognize that sanctification is not earned, but it is a special gift of God through Christ, and that you will then let your sanctification become evident in your life by good works. Let's read the first part then of Belgic Confession, Article 24, together. Let's begin. We believe that this true faith, being wrought in man by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit, sanctifies him and makes him a new man, causing him to live a new life and freeing him from the bondage of sin. Therefore, it is so far from being true that this justifying faith makes men remiss in a pious and holy life, that on the contrary, without it, they would never do anything out of love to God, but only out of self-love or fear of damnation. Sanctification defined. Let's review, though, first, how you are justified. That link in the golden chain that came just before sanctification. God gave you faith. How? Through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Through this faith, you receive the truth of God's word. You believe that Christ obeyed for you, that act of obedience throughout his life that is credited to your account, and that he died for you, that passive obedience at the end of his life where he took the punishment that belonged to you. And when you receive the truth of God's word, of his life and his death, then God declares you justified, innocent of all sins of the past, the present, and the future. But your faith does not end there after receiving the truth of what Christ did for you. Your faith does not end with justification. Faith operates throughout your life, and true faith works your sanctification. It becomes, instead of justifying faith, now sanctifying faith. And everyone who becomes a Christian starts the sanctification process. So what is a good definition for sanctification? Well, sanctification is simply God making you clean. That's the way a child would understand it. And an adult would do well to remember that. It just simply means God hallowing you or cleaning you out by removing the pollution of sin. And this is an ongoing act of God. And it's an ongoing, done on an ongoing basis. Now, it's very important that you understand the difference between justification and sanctification. That's why I'm belaboring this point to some degree. Because there's a lot of confusion, not just in Roman Catholics, but in some Christian churches as well. First of all, justification is done by means of the blood of Christ for you. You're declared righteous because the punishment has been paid. But sanctification is done by the work of the Holy Spirit in you in a continuing basis. One is a one-time act. The second one, sanctification, is an ongoing process. Justification is the work of Christ for you, whereas sanctification is the work of Christ's Spirit in you, constantly removing your sins. Justification removes your deals with your standing before Christ, but sin still remains in everyone who's justified, whereas sanctification is that cleaning out of your sins. So where does the Bible teach about this sanctification in contrast to justification, that one-time act? God promises his children that he will clean their hearts out. In the Old Testament, that term that was used in Deuteronomy was a circumcising of the heart, cleaning out of the heart. God assumes his children's hearts needed to be cleaned. And this is the work of God in everyone who is his child. Let's read a couple of passages. First, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Together, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." So you see, the heart doesn't love like it should, and it needs constantly to be cleaned out. And that's what circumcision does, the picture of human circumcision, the removing of the foreskin so that the body can be clean. And the more this happens in your spiritual heart, the so you will be more and more cleaned out. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. "Together, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." This new heart that you get guides you. This new heart gives you the desire, that spirit, to obey God more and more. So it's more than just saying, "I'm converted, I got a new heart." That new heart leads you and guides you. That's part of the sanctification. So God promises to make his children, to sanctify them. This is the gift of God. But not only that, God commands his covenant children to be sanctified. He challenges them to turn from sin in this constant battle. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Together, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" So it's your job now, your responsibility. This is the human element. God is sovereign and he commands you to work, to fight against sin, to live holy lives. And when will you be clean? When you die. This is a lifelong battle to do this work. Romans chapter 6, now verse 11 and 12 together. "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts." So reckon means count yourselves to be dead to sin. Act that way. And then that last phrase, "do not let sin reign in your mortal body." So what do you do if someone wants to have dominion over you? Someone wants to control you? What do you do if someone attacks you? You fight back. And that's what God expects you to do. When you're tempted, you fight back against sin. This is a battle for survival. If you don't fight, you lose. You can't just get along with sin. Sin will grow and take over. Galatians 5:16 says, "Together, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, walk, of course, means live there. live in the Spirit. That's how you'll be able to fight against the wickedness that is around. If you stop fighting, you begin to die. And now we come to the hardest part of the sermon. It's not really that hard. If you pay attention, I think you'll see why this is so important to deal with. Roman Catholics and Pentecostals and a few others, they don't like the term one-time justification by faith alone apart from works. And they practically reject it. Now, why? They believe that if you believe that you're justified at one time, that one-time declaration, that people will become lazy. People will say, oh, my sins are forgiven. Everything's okay, then I will be careless. And they said, if that will make people careless, then it can't be a truth that the Bible teaches. So they reject it based on the wrong response by men. Well, that's not how you determine doctrine. If the Bible teaches it, you accept it. And you live. And the truth is, though, justification doesn't make you lazy. The one who is lazy is the one who has not been justified. The one who is justified realizes, look at what Christ did for me. I couldn't do that. So he becomes more respectful and godly and patient in difficult times. He becomes more prayerful because he knows he needs help to now become cleaned out and be sanctified. He becomes one who tells the truth, someone who's joyful in Christ. You see, if you're part of the vine, and the Bible describes Jesus as the vine, and we are all the branches that are coming out. If you are in the vine, and the vine is producing sap and sending it to your branches, guess what? You will produce fruits. You can't just be part of the vine and say, oh, I'm not going to accept anymore. I close the door to the sap that's coming through to nourish me. I'm not going to produce any flowers. I'm not going to produce any fruits. Well, that's impossible. If you are in the vine, you must and you will produce good fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. So when they argue and say, well, you'll become lazy, they don't understand the scriptures. They don't understand how Jesus works. When you're in him, you will produce. Maybe not perfectly, but you will begin to produce fruits. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Together, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So God is purifying us in order to do good works. What kind of works did we do before? Lawless works. Laws contrary to the Ten Commandments. So once you are justified, that happens, then you start to be sanctified. The process gets going. Now, because the Roman Catholics and others reject a one-time justification, they then develop a different doctrine that's not taught in the scriptures. That's called progressive justification. So what they do, they kind of squish justification and sanctification together. In this teaching, you are more and more justified throughout your life. But there's a big problem with that. I understand what they're trying to do and trying to make things easier to explain. But if you don't see these as two separate things that are linked together, but they're two separate things, you will make some serious mistakes. What will happen if you hold to that view? What's wrong with the progressive justification view of Roman Catholics and others? I highlight five things there in your notes you can follow along. First of all, this teaching reduces the value of Christ's glorious work on the cross. That one time for all times, and therefore robs him of the worship and praise that belongs to him. If you realize that you have been justified one time for all times, like Jesus did, you will realize how much more you need him. and you will praise him better. Second, this teaching means Christ has to die often instead of one time for all times to continue to justify you day after day after day. And that's what led to the Roman Catholic Mass, that abominable practice of trying to kill Jesus every day. Third, this teaching means that you could be a Christian one day and not a Christian another day. But the problem is, you can't lose your problem. The good thing is, you can't lose your salvation. You are joined by this link. One is tied to the other. If you remember, if you are chosen, you will be called. If you are called, you will be justified. If you're justified, you will be sanctified. And if you're sanctified, you'll be glorified. So if this one thing has happened, it can't stop. There's no breaking of the chain. But they believe you can lose your salvation if you're not constantly being justified more and more. For this teaching denies the golden chain of Romans 8. We just touched on that. If you're called, you'll be justified, etc. And five, this teaching means God punished Christ for sins, and then he could punish you for it as well. So if you're a Christian one time and then you're not a Christian anymore, then you say Christ died for you, but you have to die for yourself. You'll go to hell as well. Well, that would be unfair, and God is not unfair. Either Christ died for your sins or you die for your sins. Both can't be punished. That would be unfair. That's like punishing two people for the same crime and only one of them did it. Would that make sense? No. God's not that way. But that's the problem when you try to merge these two doctrines of justification and sanctification and treat it as one. Now let's come to the second part of Belgian Confession 24, the sanctification displayed. And let's read this section together. Let's begin. Therefore, it is impossible that this holy faith can be unfruitful in man. For we do not speak of a vain faith, but of such a faith which is called in Scripture a faith working through love, which excites man to the practice of those works which God has commanded in his word. These works, as they proceed from the good root of faith, are good and acceptable in the sight of God. For as much as they are all sanctified by his grace, nevertheless they are of no account towards our justification. For it is by faith in Christ that we are justified, even before we do good works. Otherwise, they could not be good works, any more than the fruit of a tree can be good before the tree itself is good. That's some further explanation to what we talked about, but there's some new things I would like to consider here. First of all, your sanctification must be seen. Justification, God declares you justified. But in sanctification, that is seen in your life. Now, some people have argued that you do not need to do anything to be saved, for you're justified by faith and alone and not by works. But they believe this. But because they believe this, they also have to believe that you can be saved without repenting, because we're called to repent. We're called to attend worship. We're called to show evidence of becoming a Christian. Now, it's true they quote passages like, you're saved apart from works. Now, it's true, of course, that we are not saved by our works. No one can be saved by his works. But you cannot be saved without showing works. Anyone who is saved must show works, good works. Works are inextricably linked, again, the same word, to your salvation. And how do you see? Let me show you how I like to explain this. When you're in the sun, you see. But what makes you see? Isn't it the light that makes you see? Of course. But isn't heat also there, accompanying the sun? The heat doesn't make you see, but it's there as well. And so, as long as you have salvation, you will show it. You will be sanctified more and more, day by day. And everyone will see it. So the challenge then is to ask you, how is your sanctification evident to the world? How do you know someone is growing as a Christian? How do you know that they've been justified and the Holy Spirit is working them through the Word? Well, sanctification is seen in love. Love, yes, love for God, love for your neighbor. How do you show that love? You look at the law of God, law 1 through 4. How do you love God, law 5 through 10? How do you love your neighbor? You turn from sin and you turn and obey God's law. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says together, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. If you love me, you will keep my commands." Love is what? Fulfilling of the law. So that love produces good works. Obedience to his law is expressive of love. You know, we've polluted this word love. I don't think that was possible, but it is. We think of love in very different terms from what the Bible says. Love becomes more an attraction, an emotion. Whereas the Bible says you are to love. When you love your wife, what does that mean? Is that you can't be away from her presence? No, that's fine. But that's not really what the sense of love is. It's doing what God says with regards to your wife. The way you care for her and cherish her and help her. And the same thing is true. How do you show your love for your children? Is it just holding them all the time? No, that's fine. But if you don't provide for them, if you don't teach them, if you don't discipline them, you're not fulfilling God's word. That's not love if you just want to do one little aspect of things. What about the church? How do you show love for God in the church? You can say, "Oh, I love you," and some people like to do that, and they talk a lot about being a Christian. And that's partly one of the things I pick on in North American culture, where you hear, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And you see that in some of the silly songs that they're singing in churches, and it's the same thing, like Barney, right? "I love you, you love me," and it's all some little ditty emotional thing. Well, yeah. Where's the depth of the expression of that love? What about being in worship and listening attentively to the word? You say you love your wife, do you listen when she talks? Well, that's what true love would be. And same thing when you love God. Are you there in worship? Are you listening to him? Are you engaged with him? 1 John 5:3 says together, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." So good works are visible proof of the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a turning from sin and turning to God more and more in heart and in life. So you prove you're Christians by your love. Remember that old song? "They know we are Christians by our love." It's true. You must turn to God's law and love accordingly. Now, specifically, a few things to consider. Your sanctification will be evident and show that you're a Christian when you fight and overcome things that control your life. Alcohol, food, drugs, pornography. Some people love sleep more than anything else, and they're addicted to sleep, or television, or videos, or cell phones, or games, or sports. And these are battles that you have to fight to win. You want to be sanctified, you have to do battle with these things. Yeah, it's nice to say I'm a Christian and I know all the Reformed doctrines. I've memorized the catechism. Are you fighting? Are you fighting these things in your life? That's the battle. That's why you don't confuse justification with sanctification. Second, your sanctification will be evident when you study God's word and you pray. You know, even when you're tired, you will fight to read the word of God because you want that nourishment. You want God to speak to you. Even when you're sleepy, you will take the time to pray. You'll say, I'm so tired, and maybe you're half falling asleep. But that's the battle. That's the fight. That's sanctification. Third, your sanctification will be evident when you want to help others. You will help others by teaching them. And that's one of the biggest ways of helping people. And it's okay. I mean, you have to help sometimes financially, but sometimes that's the easiest way, and it's a cop-out. Let me give some money towards it so I don't have a responsibility. Well, you're going to fight that. Maybe you have to give up something so that you can help others. You can put the time towards helping others. And come back to something I touched on already. Your sanctification will be evident when you love your husband and wife as God says, and how you nurture and teach and discipline your children. You know, your wife or your husband might not always be lovable, and sometimes they could be downright rotten. But you have to fight that desire, saying, look at what he does, look at what she does. You have to fight that desire to hate and instead respond in love. Five, your sanctification will be evident in encouraging others to bear fruit. And you will receive the encouragement of others to bear fruit as well in your own life, fruit of the Spirit. You'll fight the desire to envy others who are doing well, maybe richer, maybe they seem happier than you. See, good works are just part of the life that you cannot escape. Good work should be on your to-do list every single day. Six, your sanctification will be evident in how you worship God, how faithful you are in doing so, in how you jump out of bed Sunday morning to come to worship. You'll fight the desire to fall asleep during the sermon and say, this is a pretty long one today. Well, you'll fight that and say, I got to listen. I'm tired, but I've got to listen. You'll concentrate on the words you sing. When your mind wanders away because someone came in or something happens, well, you'll come back to the words and you'll fight to concentrate on the words that you're singing. And then you'll listen to the prayer. And in the end, you will be able to say, whether as we do in some places, loudly or quietly, you'll be able to say amen in the end because you've listened to and you agreed to the prayer. Is that easy? No. Sometimes ministers can get long-winded and talk about things, or sometimes we pray the same kind of prayer. And I heard him pray about that last week, and your mind can wander away. But this wandering, don't worry about fight the urge to listen attentively to the words of the prayer as well. And seven, your sanctification results in humility. Remember I said justification results in humility, so sanctification. You know that it is God who is working in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Let's conclude. You've been declared righteous, justified by God, because Christ obeyed and suffered for you. If you have been truly justified, it means God is sanctifying you right now. He's cleaning you out of your sins, and he's giving you the desire to fight against sin. Yes, this is a gift of God, the strength to fight, the perseverance, the patience. God really wants you to be sanctified, and everything you need is given in your hands to do so. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, since sanctification is a gift from the Most High God, don't be complacent with it. You wouldn't do that if your spouse gave you a special gift. You wouldn't ignore it. Sometimes your spouse may give you a gift you don't particularly like, but you still use it, and you probably wear it because it's from someone who loves you. What about someone who gives you a gift that is most necessary, most precious, that never goes away, that other people can benefit from? That's the gift he gave you, the gift of sanctification. So let God's Holy Spirit work in you and show he is working in you. Let him do the good works that we've talked about. For it is he who works sanctification in you. When you are kind to your spouse, when you teach your children, when you attend your worship, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. You know, naturally you'd be selfish. Naturally, on Sunday afternoon, you think, why don't I just stay home? Why don't I clean my yard instead? Why don't I watch a game instead of talking and teaching children? Also, the Holy Spirit who's working in you. So let him work in you. Then daily repent of your sins, for sanctification is that ongoing process. That holiness must become more and more evident in your life. Read your Bible, meditate on God's truth, believe the truths that you read, obey the truths that you read, regularly spend time in prayer for the good of yourself and for the good of others, and even for your enemies. Teach your wife and your children, worship the Lord in your homes, be part of the life of the church. Not just on Sunday, not just show up and leave after, to be really involved in the life of the church. Don't be a visitor, be a real part of the church. And then tell others about Jesus. Listen carefully to the sermon so you have something to tell. Care for others, starting with God's family. So, a personal question I want you to leave here thinking about today is: your sanctification evident to the world? How about to your family? Do they see you growing in grace? The thing is, when you do these things, when you show how precious, when you show the work of Christ in you, people will see how precious your Savior is, how valuable your salvation is. They'll be drawn to Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. If you're not a Christian, you need to talk to God and ask him to justify you of all your sins, because Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners. And then he will not only justify you, but he'll start to sanctify you as well. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for the blessing of being justified, declared righteous. Thank you that your Holy Spirit works in us to do good works, to show that indeed we are yours. And in doing so, we bring glory to your name. We bring good to our neighbor, who might see Jesus in us and be drawn to you. And even then, there are rewards in heaven. So work in us and give us that desire. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.